Good morning, everyone. This is section 316, General Precision Agriculture Systems 1. So I will be moderating this morning. My name is Brenda Ortiz. I am an assistant professor with Auburn University in Alabama. For the speakers that are in the room, I have this yellow card that indicates that there are 3 minutes. You have 3 minutes left on your presentation. And I will, try to keep everybody, on track as far as time. There is this form. If somebody wants to claim for CEU units, so you can just write down your name and your number, or just use the sign there. We still have a couple of minutes left. To start, we will have this morning 10 speakers on this session, so we will be pretty busy, but I'm pretty excited because the topics are very diverse, but I think the speakers will provide very good information, and I hope we can have a very good discussion. Okay, I would like to introduce our first speaker. The topic or the title of the presentation is Eight Specific Precision Placement Protocol for Maximum Productivity. And the speaker is Dr. Charles Dickman from Dickman Consulting.
Thank you, people. My topic this morning is specific precision placement protocol for maximum productivity. Our objective here in this is maximum sustainable productivity. Our vehicle to deliver that, it does require a precision placement, and that's why I want to speak to a group here in precision agriculture this morning. Now, but we're going to focus on, if we're talking about maximum yield, I want to start by focusing on the largest contributor to yield, and that's photosynthesis. None other than Robert Loomis says that 90 to 95% of our yield, depending on the crop, does in fact is derived from photosynthesis. Now, since the solar corridor crop system is a system that most maximizes photosynthesis, it's the operational details of that system will be the focus of this paper. Now, what in the heck is the solar corridor? Well, when we get into the solar corridor, you see why we do need some precision placement here to make this thing work. But I'm the agronomist. And I hope there's some people here in ag engineering and precision agriculture can figure out how to make this thing work. But here's what the solar corridor is. It is a corridor of light between each row so that incident sunlight can reach each of the chloroplasts up that are arranged up and down the plant in the chlorophyll molecule in the green leaves. But and the only way I knew to do that was to have every row in the cornfield an outside row. So how do you get every row in the cornfield to be an outside row? This is one way of doing that. But I do not like sunlight hitting the ground and going to waste. So therefore, that's why we have in the center 30-inch swath of wheat and stubble clover, or stubble crop, or cover crop of some kind. And I do not know if we just forgot it or if we thought that the stubble clover didn't need to be shown in this diagram, but the stubble clover will, be going in this area so that we do capture all of the light that hits the field. Now, when you look at the data, our data will be on corn yield data. You will see that we have one problem here. Another problem we have besides the precision placement is that apparently most hybrids today really do not utilize those lower leaves, but some do. And that's what we endeavor to do, make sure we get the hybrids that really utilize the extra raw materials of photosynthesis. Now then, I think that we'll, any question on, okay, this is a cross section taken just before wheat harvest. And then the question is, how are we going to harvest wheat? Well, that's the question we hope to have addressed before this session is over this morning at 10:30. But after the wheat, soon after this cross section is, we come in and harvest the wheat and stubble crop. And from that time on, every corn leaf has full access to the catalyst for photosynthesis. And the catalyst for photosynthesis is sunlight. And then after we harvest the corn, then you just take this center row of wheat and put that center row of wheat, drill a row of wheat right here between the corn rows. So then at that point, from that point on, and then this crop becomes a cover crop over winter. The stubble crop is a cover crop over winter. And then the wheat is emerging right here. And then when in spring comes, we plant the corn right here. Plant the corn right here in that old cover. So that is the system that we're proposing here. That's one version of the solar quarter. Now, it doesn't have to be corn or doesn't have to be winter wheat, but it just, this is the one that I've worked with, and it works. That's the one that works good. We have staggered twin rows spaced far enough apart to enable sunlight to reach the lower leaves for the entire growing season, enabling the biocapture more CO2 for biosynthesis into more photosynthate-derived carbon compounds. And then we grow a shorter symbiotic crop on the vacated row that completes its peak demand for photosynthates for sunlight before the corn plant starts taking all of that sunlight. Now, I hope we don't have to harvest with this equipment, but that's, again, one reason why we have the people in this room, the precision ag people here, to how to design the equipment to do this in a large scale. And I took this to our university's crop systems unit, and they said, certainly if the farmers could start using this, we can design the equipment to do that. And I know we can, because the first group of people I started working with, said, we want to raise beans between the corn rows. And I said, well, beans, I don't think are the best crop, because they're competing for the raw materials of photosynthesis at the same time as the corn is. And they said, we don't care. That's all we raise in Illinois here is corn and beans. So we want you to do it with beans. And so I said, well, if we can get the beans to work, how will you harvest it? They said, look, you're our agronomist. We're the farmers. We'll figure that out if you can produce the yield. And so they designed a piece of machinery that could harvest the soybeans in between the corn rows with a six-row machine. And I believe that if this system can be agronomically proven, it can be adapted in the field. Okay, so now we just want to look at the yield data we have. Before we look at the yield data, we need to know where it came from. We had 12 production environments. They range from a silty clay loam, Martin silt loam, silty clay loam soil, to a fine, very fine sandy loam soil across eastern Illinois at between 40 and 41 degrees north latitude. We use the best management practices for the controls. We don't yet have the best management practices refined for the treatment for the solar quarter, but we use the best practices for the controls. We had used four hybrids. We split our treatments by hybrids, and those four hybrids came from the following. We screened 200 commercial hybrids before we started the study. 179 of the commercial hybrids did not indicate to us that they would like this system. That's where hybrid A is selected from one of those hybrids. They were all high-yielding commercial hybrids, very popular in the area. And we selected B, C, and D. We selected three hybrids, which represented here as B, C, and D, from the 21 hybrids that did not meet our, that did meet our threshold for yield. That's how you'll see the, those results, where they come from. We had four plant populations. We do not assume that we know what population would be the optimum population in this system. So, that's one reason we arranged, the next split was plant population. And one of the populations was to continue to be, have a continuity with the preliminary screening trials where we selected these hybrids in the first place. And, then another population, what we thought might be the optimum population, and two other populations. We replicated that three times. We had two row width entries. The control was where we had single rows on 30-inch center. We had 30-inch equipment. We had 60-inch twin corn rows, so that every other corn row was missing, and it could be harvested with their conventional harvesting equipment. Where they had 36-inch rows, we had 72-inch centers, 72-inch twin rows. Use our equipment to harvest everything, and the seven and a half inch wide twin rows fit through the corn snout very, very well. And the one other thing about the treatments. One other thing about the treatments before I show the data is, we had believed, based upon our observations, that we could grow another crop in between the corn rows without affecting corn yield if we selected the right crop. Soybeans was not the right crop, as we found out in our study. We understand that, okay. But winter wheat would be, could be. Or anything that finishes up its need for sunlight before the corn plant canopies the whole thing. But we had to test that, and so one way we didn't have any statistically analyzed data to prove that, to say that was true. So therefore, we had one of these locations as a parallel, it was a parallel site study where we had one of the studies had a crop in between the corn rows. The other study had nothing in between the corn rows, and there was no difference in corn yield between either of those. So therefore, what we did was we reported the yields of everything here by ignoring any effect of the in between the corn rows, because there was no difference in yield. Do you have any question on that? Okay, good, okay. Now, here is what our results were. Hybrid A did not like the solar corridor. Hybrid B, C, and D did. Now, we are not one to assume that at any yield that this same kind of response would occur at any yield level. So what we did is of those 12 environments, we thought, well, let's pull out the eight of the highest yielding population environments and see if there was any difference in this trend. And here's what we found with the highest yielding environments. Same result. Hybrid A didn't like the solar corridor treatment, which is kind of normal. That is represents most all the hybrids out there. But there are others are there, and they can be developed. The hybrid B, C, and D did, so it's had the same kind of response. But now, we recognize, looking at data, of course, that three of the populations that make up these charts were suboptimal populations. So what would happen if we take out the suboptimal populations, and that's what we'll see in the next chart, and see what the response was there. Okay, same thing. Hybrid A didn't like solar corridor, didn't like that configuration. It needed the plants to be real close together, and it really didn't maybe make much use of those bottom leaves. But at any of those yield levels we had there, from 180 to 200 bushel, 220 bushel, that the responses were basically the same. So it was a fairly consistent response to that. Now, this was kind of difficult in itself to pick out what was the highest yielding plant population. We had to pick out one, so show them all the same here. But that was the highest yielding population for A, B, and C, but that wasn't the highest yielding population for D. But anyway, that's what we found. And B, C, and D both expressed the yield response differently. B oftentimes would put out quite a bit of corn cob on the end of the ear that the kernels didn't fill out on, but in the solar recorder system, it did fill out all the kernels on the end of the ear, so it was less kernel abortion on the end for that. The C did have it, was expressed this yield through a deeper kernel, and D just expressed this yield by additional ears. So they had three. So one of the flaws of using commercial hybrids are you really don't know if the genotypes are different or not. But after looking at working with these hybrids for years, phenotypically, I'm sure that those were in fact different hybrids, different genotypes. I really believe the first couple of years when we did this that we could produce as much corn with those wide rows as we did with narrow rows, because the trend, of course, had been going to narrow rows, and that's one reason it's easy to get a patent on some concept like this, is because it's contrary to the state of the art. But we tried to select our hybrids based upon if some hybrids have chloroplasts that will be productive over a longer duration of time, they could produce more photosynthates, and we were looking for those hybrids that, like, most of those hybrids looked to me like they had a response curve kind of like this, kind of like I did at middle age. I started slowing down. That's the way most corn plants do. But we were looking for those that would continue to produce photosynthates right up to physiological maturity. And that's what we think B, C, and D do that. Or, and in addition, they have more productive reproductive sinks that'll pull all everything they can get out of the sink without robbing the root system, without cannibalizing the root system and the basal stalk. Okay, but how could that be? Of course, it's easy to understand why this could happen. Sunlight is a catalyst for photosynthesis, and the chloroplast in the chlorophyll molecule in the green leaves is what captures that sunlight, which enables us to have the biosynthesis CO2 and water to produce simple sugars and complex sugars. Whether using those complex sugars as amylopectin starch, amylostarch, or lignocellulose, or whatever we're using it for, that's what we do. It's what photosynthesis does, of course. The new paradigm enables a mature chloroplast to capture more CO2 and produce more photosynthesis. So the source is more productive. That enables the highest capacity reproductive sinks to access more photosynthesis. It enables the vegetative sinks to access more photosynthesis, so the root system and the basal stalk is not cannibalized by the grain system. And cultivar and variety selection is site-specific. The production inputs then become variety-specific, and that's where the system really requires how to put everything together that needs to be done in a proper manner for this thing to work. It's obviously, the easiest thing to do is, if you use the wrong hybrid, of course it will not work, and that's the typical hybrid. So increased productivity can be achieved, and I wish someone else would run the protocol we used to see what kind of results you get on this, because that would finish the complete process, the scientific process. Okay. Thank you so much. I'm sorry it took so much time. Sorry.